Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 32, Canto 3, Chapter 26, begins a long series of verses that describe the five gross elements, Panchabhuta, that manifest, and the element of sense perception, and then the organ of sense perception are manifest, which is a little delicate or touchy, because in the mode of passion, so mode of egotism in the mode of ignorance. Previously heard egotism or false ego influenced by goodness, mind is produced, false ego influenced by passion, intelligence produced, and the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses for action. Now, in the mode of ignorance, or false egoism influenced by the mode of ignorance, is going to produce the elements. In this case, the first one is sky. But before sky, the element of sound, and from sound, ethereal sky is produced, and the sense of hearing. The delicate part is the sense of hearing. Sounds very much like knowledge acquiring senses. And I don't have an answer. So we'll just read. So the previous verse, text 31, says, egoism in the mode of passion produces two kinds of senses. The senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses of action. Then it says that which energizes each one of them or both of them. Senses of action depends on prana. The sense of acquiring knowledge depends upon buddhi or intelligence, jnana shakti, and previously kriya shakti. So anyway, here, text 32, the translation reads, when egoism in ignorance is agitated by the sex energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the subtle element sound is manifested, and from sound comes the ethereal sky and the sense of hearing. The sense of hearing, the Sanskrit word is shabda gam. Shabda is sound, and shabda gum is that which catches sound. The translation reads, the sex energy of the Supreme Personality Godhead, the Sanskrit is Bhagavat Virya. Virya means energy or strength. And in the Sanskrit is this word, vikurvanat, transformation. Essentially, this is another way to describe what is being presented here is shakti parinama vad, or the doctrine of transformation of energies. Parinama means transformation. Here the word vikurvanat undergoing transformation. The teaching of Vyasadeva is the Lord and His potencies are inseparable. Those potencies transform, and as they transform, they produce varieties of potencies and objects and so forth, including the ability to perceive those objects. In this case, it's the sense of hearing. Let's read the purport. It's three paragraphs. It appears from this verse that all the objects of our sense gratification are products of egoism in ignorance. And he says it three times. It is understood from this verse that by agitation of the element of egoism in ignorance, the first thing produced was sound, which is the subtle form of ether. It is stated also in the Vedanta Sutra that sound is the origin of all objects of material possession. There's a second time. And that by sound, one can also dissolve this material existence, which makes sense. If sound produces it, sound can withdraw it. Anavrati Shabdat means liberation by sound. Here it says the third time, the material manifestation began from sound, and sound can also end material entanglement if it has a particular potency. The particular sound capable of doing this is the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna. Our entanglement in material affairs has begun from material sound. There's the fourth time. There is sound in the spiritual world also. If we approach that sound, then our spiritual life begins, and the other requirements for spiritual advancement can be supplied. Here it is for the fifth time. We have to understand very clearly that sound is the beginning of the creation of all material objects for our sense gratification. And then conversely, similarly, if sound is purified, our spiritual necessities are also produced from sound. We said one of them five times and the other one three times. Spiritual necessities through spiritual sound, material entanglement, material objects, and affinity fulfilled for sense gratification through sound. So what sounds one produces, very important, and what one hears. Paragraph. Here it is said that from sound the ether became manifested, and that the air became manifested from ether. Well, it hasn't said that yet. That's coming up. How the ethereal sky comes from sound, and how the air comes from sky, and how fire comes from air, will be explained later on. Sound is the cause of the sky. A sky is the cause of shrotram, the ear. Now, the ear is not necessarily like, you know, the physical instrument, but rather the power of hearing. Like somebody's ear can break and you can get a replacement ear, or their other sense, you know, the eye can break and they can get another eye or something. The lens goes bad, put another lens in. The machine part can be broken and you can replace the machine part, because behind the machine part is the power that the sense represents. The ear is the first sense for receiving knowledge. Makes sense that it's the first sense that's manifest. One must give oral reception to any kind. one must give oral reception to any knowledge one wants to receive, either material or spiritual. Therefore, shrotram, very important. The Vedic knowledge is called shruti, knowledge that has to be received by hearing. By hearing only, we can have access to either material or spiritual enjoyment. Paragraph. And he's going to explain that. So the final paragraph is mainly about material advancement or material enjoyment through material sound, and one can build things to make enjoyments through sound, and then similarly spiritual well-being through sound. Final paragraph. In the material world, we manufacture many things for our material comfort simply by hearing. They are already there, but just by hearing, one can transform them. Here's examples. We want to build a very high skyscraper. This does not mean that we have to create it. The materials for the skyscraper, wood, metal, earth, etc., are already there, but we make our intimate relation with those already created material elements by hearing. How to utilize them. Go to engineering school or architectural school or something. And hear and to understand how to bring the elements together, and then based upon the hearing, the object can manifest. So those are like, that's what Brahma does, or little Brahmas, little creators. But here, this is Vishnu, and Vishnu is providing the ingredients. Like we disassembled motor parts. But the same principle. Modern economic advancement for creation is also a product of hearing. And similarly, one can create a favorable field of spiritual activities by hearing from the right source. Arjuna, he speaks very critically of Arjuna. Arjuna was a gross materialist in the bodily conception of life and was suffering from the bodily concept very acutely. But simply by hearing, Arjuna became a spiritualized, Krishna-conscious person. Hearing is very important, and that hearing is produced from the sky. Before the sky is sound. By hearing only can we make proper use of that which already exists. The principle of hearing to properly utilize preconceived materials is applicable to spiritual paraphernalia as well. You must hear from the proper spiritual source. End of purport. So, again, from this morning's discussion, this is Sarga. This is what Mahavishnu does to provide everything necessary for Brahma to do this Sarga, the sub-creation. Essential through all of this is not just the cause and effect of things. Essential in all of this is the remote cause. There's all these technical terms that can be very confusing. Different types of causation. Nimitta Maya, Upadana Maya, and so on. So many different ways of describing them. Those are material causes that bring about material effects. And that's technology, material causes, material effects. You wiggle this, and something over there wiggles. Cause and effect. So, behind those causes that produce effects are some prior cause. But just like something that it's going to come up as this chapter continues, but sound is carried in ether. We know that. Sound is carried in ether. So, because ether is very subtle, ether is also within air, ether is also within water, ether is also within earth, ether is also within fire. I remember as a young man swimming in the lake, and we did this thing. We took some rocks, go underwater, put two rocks, and bang the rocks. And then, you know, some distance away, you could hear the sound of the banging of the rocks. Or there's a boat passing by, and then you could hear through the water, you could hear the motor moving the water. Because within the water, there's also ether. And therefore, sound carries through ether. Sound carries through earth. There's a bang over here, and you can hear it over there. Because there's ether within earth, within water, within air, within fire. The other way around, fire and air. So, and before the ether is sound. So very, very important in establishing consciousness, degrees of covered consciousness or Krishna consciousness, is sound. So very, 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 very important in our Vedic process is sound. I got a letter from a teenager in America today. The attraction for, they go to public school, attraction for mundane music. And the mundane music sound creates an attraction for certain sense objects, and with that attraction for certain, just the whole of the material energy moves to manifest the objects based on sound. So it's important what we hear. The difficulty is behind even, you know, the sound. Before the sound, there's desire. The desire for enjoyment and the modes of nature acting on the soul. So it's very deep and subtle. So if this part is to understand at least the fundamental principles behind the creation of material objects that are meant to fulfill, or they're manifest by the material energy to fulfill desires. But sound is the element that brings that about. So what one hears in school, and alternatively what one hears, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Kirtan and the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and those spiritual sound vibrations, then can help one to align the knowledge that one receives in the other, you know, minus Shabda, Brahman, spiritual sound vibration, how to utilize those things in service to Krishna. There has to be a spiritual foundation through sound. The biblical teaching is less detailed and sophisticated, but the same principle. In the beginning was the Word. It's in Genesis, of the first part of the Old Testament. And the Word was God. Shabda Brahman. Very similar to the earlier parts of this chapter, where consciousness is pure, like the same example we've been repeating, distilled rainwater coming down, because that's what rainwater is, distilled water. There's a bunch of water, the sun shines, it evaporates the water. It forms a cloud, carried by the wind, comes down as distilled water. That's what a distillation process of water is. It's something over here and comes up and comes down. Your chemistry lab, you make distilled water. So it's just like big scale distilled water. When that distilled water, with no mixture of anything but just water, then it comes in contact with earth and it becomes whatever the earth is composed of. We'll say muddy. Or whatever other particular predominance of elements it mixes with the water. It becomes contaminated water. Or at least not just pure water. Similarly, consciousness of living entity is pure. From the, it's described specifically, from the, as living entities are injected with the material energy, consciousness is pure. Now, there's still some desires, because otherwise they wouldn't have been in the body of Mahavishnu. They would have gone to Vaikuntha. So there's some desires, they're dormant, and then they become activated through contact with time, energy, and all the other things that are being described in the chapter. And then the show goes on. Because of time, I'm just going to read the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I mentioned this morning, I didn't read it, about the word Taijasani, Taijasa, Ahankara. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has called false ego born of the mode of passion or influenced by the mode of passion. Here's the translation of this morning's verse. All the senses, both action and knowledge senses, arise from the Taijasa Ahankara. Ahankara in passion. Since the prana impelling the action senses possesses tajasa kriya shakti, and buddhi impelling the knowledge senses possesses tajasa vijnana shakti. So the mode of passion influencing or in contact with false ego produces these two things. Knowledge acquiring and working senses, depending upon what is also needed to propel them. Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. Then, text 32, very short. From transformation of Ahankara in Tamas, inspired by the Lord's power as time. Remember the Bhagavad Virya, what's translated in Prabhupada's verse is the sex energy of the Supreme Lord. Here it's the form of time. That's the glance of Mahavishnu, living entities and time. That's his Bhagavad Virya. In the 12th canto, it describes the unwinding of creation or the withdrawal of the creation. And one of the first things that happens is the Lord withdraws his time energy. It's over. Because without time, things don't happen. With time present, they start to happen. Bhagavad Virya. By the power of the Lord in the form of time, Bhagavad Virya, sound appeared. So it's in conjunction with false ego, influenced with ignorance or tamas. And by what is sound to be perceived, it's perceived by the instrument, the ear. The ear arising from Taijasa Ahankara attains sound. So there's, remember at the very beginning? The senses, knowledge acquiring, and acting senses from passion? Here's the connection. The ear, arising from Taijasa Ahankar, attains sound. So it's already there. The instrument, or the power of hearing, before there's like the, you know, the instrument itself, but the power of hearing is there. That's produced from Ahankara and passion. And then comes the object. Sound. Hearing sound. And then from sound, transforming becomes ethers. Sound is carried in ether. So here's the, that which is making the sound. There's the medium that carries the sound, that's ether. And then there's the instrument that hears it. The ear is the receptacle of sound, is how he has translated it. Or what Vishwanath is saying. I'll read it again. This translation, it's very clear. From the transformation of Ahankara in tamas, inspired by the Lord's power of time, sound appeared, and from that ether appeared. The ear is the receptacle of sound. So the ear, the receptacle of sound, has already been produced from Taijasa Ahankara, or false ego and passion. This metaphor of disassembled motor parts in a car factory is Prabhupada's metaphor. It's his very simple description, like imagery, of Mahatattva. What we're hearing is the transformation of Pradhan to Mahatattva. So the disassembled motor parts are, you know, so someone produces brakes, someone produces the steering wheel, someone produces the tires, someone produces the axle, and puts, you know, then the motor part factory assembles, brings them all together. And then the, you know, the engineers that know how to do it, they put it all together. And they have factory workers. So Mahavishnu is the parts manufacturer. And he does it remotely, just by the interaction or transformation of his own potencies. So there's the sense of hearing created by passion. False ego influenced by passion. And then the sense of hearing needs an object. So the object has created sound. And the medium through which sound is carried is needed, so ether is created. Just transformations of energies. Therefore, those that are in a very purified and subtle state of consciousness, by mantra, they can make airplanes. Vimanas are by mantra. And what I'm going to get on very soon is not one by mantra. It's yantra. It's a machine. So the subtle machines, like Kapila Dev, who is speaking to Devahuti, by his mystic power, he created a flying city. By mystic power. It's just, it's mystic power is subtle manipulation of these laws. So that was Kardama Muni, not Kapila Dev. So Kardama Muni created that. And yogis can do such things. And people go, whoa. But it's just manipulation of the laws of nature. And understanding them in a very subtle way, they can wiggle this and that happens. And they're at least those that are very qualified, they're not so interested in that. Those that are not so qualified, they're very interested in that. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada expressed, it's one of the reasons why Vaishnavas don't display mystic powers, is people become enamored by the mystic power and think, oh, I want that. Instead of, you know, they're losing the sense of connection with Krishna, they want the mystic power. Okay, so any discussion? Fascinating subject. Very deep. Sound is? Yeah. Sure. Yes. Yes. The vibrations are affecting even matter, the whole atmosphere. It spiritualizes the atmosphere, like a temple or something like that. If I had more time, I'd give some details or give some examples. But yes, it's three or four times said necessities for spiritual life are manifest through spiritual sound. Now, we don't see all of a sudden, like, you know, there's the sabji in the cooking pot. Not exactly like that. Just chant the Maha Mantra and the sabji gets cooked. In fact, it's, you know, the vegetables just jump into the pot and cut themselves up and turn the heat on. So it's not like that. But, you know, through the medium of devotion, necessities of bhakti are provided. Necessities of bhakti are provided, including, you know, the spiritual atmosphere. Vaikuntha atmosphere is created by chanting. The japa and kirtan, it's just in Mayapur. And just quickly, we had a GBC meeting, but part of that was 8 days of leaders from all over the world coming, called International Leadership Sangha, ILS. 1,000. One devotee that I know from Guyana came and said, oh, there's so many devotees. I said, this is nothing. After you all go, then there's another 10,000 that are coming. So after they left, 10,000 came. And they had a kirtan mela for 5 days. The fourth day was the fifth anniversary of the Panchatattva installation. So 3 days preceding, it was kirtan all day long and all night long. And my room is right above the temple roof. I can tell you it was all night long. So the whole atmosphere is, you know, this is the holy dham, but the whole atmosphere is being surcharged with kirtan. And then the Abhishek of, you know, the huge bunch of type of deities. It was a spiritual world. Although, you know, we're looking at a Google map and you can see it. So there's physical presence, but the spiritual atmosphere is connected with and made manifest. Correct.
So, how does it interact?
Just like it becomes contained, just like air becomes polluted. The air is not polluted, but maybe you've seen pictures in Beijing. I was visiting in Beijing, and we were driving along at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, why is it dark already? It's not dark already, that's just the smog of Beijing. It looked like nightfall at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So much smog. But air isn't, you know, polluted. It's the pollution within the air, and water and the elements and consciousness. So consciousness, like the rain dropping and falling and mixing with what it comes in contact with, consciousness becomes contaminated, but its original state is pure. And it's the contamination, the bridge of contamination is false ego, misidentification of self with stuff, because of desires for enjoyment. We need a false ego to enjoy this way, that way, and based on false ego, we get the rest of the subtle and the rest of the gross coverings, guna and karma related. So chanting goes directly to the original, that original consciousness. It becomes chaito dharpana marjanam, becomes cleansed by resonance with that same sound vibration, the potency of purna shuddho nitya mukto. The name acts as a purifying agent because it's fully pure. It never becomes contaminated, but our consciousness does, and it removes the contamination. Like the example of distilled water, the sun shines on a filthy place and the water becomes evaporated. That which was contaminated, because removal is separated from its contamination, and the contamination is left behind. It's not exactly the elements, it's the affinity for enjoying the elements separately from Krishna. The misuse of free will is behind it all. And when that's there, then it's no longer ahankar. And then all the subsidiary byproducts of ahankar, through sound vibration, it attacks directly on the soul, and the pure consciousness of the soul is restored. The science, spiritual science. And even if we don't understand the spiritual science, it still acts. Anything? Anything? Okay. Hare Krishna. See the fellow card.